is above every other name. The name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because Jesus is indeed Lord. He's over it all. And in Him we live and move and have our being. I greet you amidst all that goes on in the world. I greet you amidst all the changes, all the switches, all the ups and downs and turning arounds that take place in this paradigm and in this reality that we call and consider life. Even though this is a transitory place, even though that this is a spot where every single one of us is going through this, and this is not, this world in and of its presence form is not the ultimate reality, and yet this is a place where we see God expressing Himself and God showing and revealing and doing what He's going to do amidst all that takes place. The wheat and the tares had to grow together in order to express and show what God wanted to be seen. The challenges had to be there. There had to be the manifestation of the darkness in order for light to be seen for what it is. Without the kind of things that Jesus had to face in His own life, we would have never understood the expression of His love. We would have never understood the fullness of His love for us. So many times what we end up seeing is, you know, if there wasn't the context for that, if there wasn't the need for the type of redemption that took place to bring us, to restore us to the Father, then we would have never seen and understood the depths and the heights and of the love of God. And not that we fully understand it, not that we fully comprehend it, but we see at least in part a measure of it, of what God did for us. And you know, so yeah, it's one of those things that it's part of the mystery of God that's revealed in us as we follow Him. And so often, you know, we in and of ourselves and our own humanity, apart from, and especially when humanity is apart from God, it goes with its primal, with its base instincts. And but when you follow God, you go on a journey. And that journey sometimes will be contrary to what it is that you would think in yourself apart from Him. But the journey that God has for you is a journey of fulfillment. It's a journey of peace. It's a journey of going from glory to glory and from strength to strength. As He that begins that good work in you carries it on to completion. Now, in the midst of all that's taking place right now on the earth, we're seeing just God also fulfilling that promise that He had for basically shaking everything that can be shaken. We're seeing a shaking taking place on the earth. We're seeing things that used to be and considered to be solid are being shaken up, are being broken up. Old circles, old cabals, old systems of control that they've used to use are now being shaken. You know, I'll give you a classic example that everybody can see and know. There used to be an old way that they used to control the information. And they used to control the information so that certain things could not reach you, and that certain things would reach you. And the stuff that they would get to reach you would be whatever it is that they could use to control your mind and your thinking. And, you know, any thought that would deviate from the control would be kept away from you. So that's why John the Baptist was out in the desert. That's why so often the children of God were in remote places and were pushed aside or pursued, or it's because they didn't want that message and that truth to hit to the hearts of the people. Because if it resonated with people, and the truth does resonate, if it resonated with people, they stand the risk of losing those that were under the illusion, those that were under their control. So they didn't want to lose the people that were under their control. They didn't want to lose the people that were under their, that were trapped by them. So they own the institutions and the institutions of man that are the ones that are under the power of the prince of the power of the air, they own those ones and they utilize those ones for control. And to control the message, to control the narrative. Now, how is that being shaken? Well, you can see it. You can see that those institutions are not, they don't have their merit and their value that they once did. They don't have their control that they once did. Now they're being questioned in a way that they never were before. Now they're being saturated and there's more and more of things that are out there that were never there before that they have to deal with now. So, and also at the same time, the message and the truth is getting out. Even people that are in remote places but those that have the truth, that truth is getting through. That truth is reaching people that have a heart for it. And the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It shall set you free. It liberates. So you hear that truth, it resonates within you, and you can't go back. You're not the same anymore. So once you hear that truth, you're not the same anymore. And they don't want you to get that truth, because in getting the truth, you're set free. In getting the truth, now you question the lie. In getting the truth, now you wonder and you understand that which you didn't know before. So the process for us as the children of God, the process for us is we just continue to move in this. That's just one thing. That's just systems of information control. But we're seeing this in every area. And as God is shaking everything that can be shaken, the lie can't stand. The lie can never stand in the face of the truth. The lie can never stand even under its own weight. You know, what you'll see historically is when a lie that just builds on itself, it eventually just crumbles into nothing. And because it can't stand, there's no foundation there, there's no basis there. So what God would have for you and God would have for me is to walk in the truth, which is the solid foundation, because it's in Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. God is that truth, and He is the truth. So we root and ground our lives in Him, and in grounding our lives in Him, He then leads us and guides us as we walk out and we build on a solid foundation. See, the world doesn't have a solid foundation. That's why everything that it's about will crumble and fail and fall and be brushed away, because it won't stand in what's coming to fruition. The things that will stand in what's going to be coming to fruition, because it's that rock that was cut without human hands, you read it in the book of Daniel, that rock that was cut without human hands that came and smashed the idol and that then it grew and filled the whole earth. Well, that rock, who is Christ, is truth. That filled the whole earth. So the truth filled the whole earth. The way filled the whole earth. The life filled the whole earth. And what was before, the lie, and that which was part of a kingdom that came to steal and to kill and destroy, that all fell apart and fell asunder, and there was no more trace of it. So what we're seeing is we're seeing all that was built on a lie falling apart, shaking. They can't hold it together. And the more that they lie, the more they destroy themselves. The more that they live in the lie, the more that the whole thing falls apart. Now, for you, my brother, for you, my sister, we get... Now, when you've been living in the truth, you don't have to worry. You don't have to... You can walk in that. Because you've been living in the truth. You've been living in that which is real. So there's a joy that you have that the world doesn't have. Because your foundation is solid. You're part of that kingdom that is growing. Whereas what happens with the world is they're trying to hold it together, but they can't. And as they go forward, the things that they put themselves in fail them. The simplest things can fail them. And when they do fail them, the whole thing comes crumbling down. It doesn't take much. My gosh, in the age that we're moving into and the time that we're moving into, and I should hesitate to use the word age because it's not, it's something different. But in what we're moving into and what we're moving away from, all the stuff from before, it's different, brothers and sisters. It's not going to be the same type of thing. And the lie won't last. The darkness is the darkness can't exist in the light. So, you know, what's happening is that darkness, now as there's more and more and more light coming forward, that darkness is struggling to keep its control, struggling to keep its viability. There's, you know, the other day I was going through and reading in Matthew 23. Let's talk about this one. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, that they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for every one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, but and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether it is greater the gold, what ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth thereon. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and the outside of them may also, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, Hypocrites, for ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, you know, in the process of God shaking everything that can be shaken, in the process of things changing, God is also bringing his challenge. And he's bringing his challenge to that which would stand there in these places of seeming authority, because they're being revealed for what they are. You know, when he spoke to them in their day, you know, the people themselves that were under that yoke of bondage, they would never have questioned. And Jesus stood up there and questioned, and he said, you know, that he said, okay, here's what they're teaching. They're teaching the law. They're teaching that which is, but they don't observe it. So don't do after their works, for they say and do not. That is a hypocrite, to say and not do. To that, because you and your word are not one. God and his word are one. You know, in the Psalms says that he has exalted his word even above his name. When God says, when God speaks, it comes into existence. When God says something, it happens. When God instructs for something, it takes place. So he and his word are one. And that is the mark of somebody grounded also in the truth, is that they and their word are one, because they are being fashioned in the likeness and the image of God. So they're truth speakers. And there's a grounding of who they are in that which is real. The devil is the father of all lies. So so that's why too that he calls them a son of hell. Because when in verse 15, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Well, yeah, and so, you know, here's all you got to do is say the things, but you don't do them. You don't live them. It's not who you are. And they learn and they utilize that position of power and control over the minds of people in order to put heavy burdens on them. And that they won't lift them with one of their fingers. They won't grant them any relief. And everything that they do is to be seen. It's all for this show. How often, my gosh, think about the age that we live in right now. How often is everything that people do in this age that they do it to be seen of men? You know? Social media. How many things are done to be seen of men? And not because it's actually the life that people are living, but it's to be seen. You know, all these other things that people do. All the things that people want. But all of that comes from being detached. When you know who you are in Christ, you don't need those things. When you're grounded in the truth, you're consistent with who you are. It's it's a whole different world that we live in, that we exist from. We come from a kingdom reality where they come from the world. We are from above, they're from below. That for us, when we're unified with Christ and we're made one in the Spirit with Him, that for us is that place of peace and consistency, because that's where we are who we are. Now, the woe that's here also too for those that live and are in that system, and part of that, and part of part of something that Jesus cautions against is because too they are in those positions and they're blocking people from the kingdom. They're blocking people from, well, the kingdom is within, right? And so when the kingdom is within, they want to block you from going within. So they want to keep you locked into the external reality, keep you locked into the trap, keep you locked into the illusion. When it says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither," verse 13, "for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." So you don't go in. You stay without. You stay in external appearances. You stay in that which and you do for performance for other people. You stay in a system of a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. You stay in this place of ritual. You stay in this place, and you don't go into the kingdom. You don't go within. You don't dig deep. You keep this whole thing on the surface, and you keep this whole thing in this place of control, of man-made control, one of another. You do this. Now, this is Jesus saying, "Woe unto you guys." This is Jesus saying that these guys are twice, that they're trying to make other people twofold more the children of hell than themselves, right? So he's saying, you guys are doing this. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. When people try to go in, you push them back. You try to block them from that. When the veil of the temple was rent in two, and Jesus said, "It is finished," what did they do after that? Well, they wanted to stitch that thing back up. They wanted to get between you and God once again. Where Jesus makes the way, He is the gate, He's the doorway. No one, when He opens a door, no one can close it. When He closes a door, no one can open it. Jesus does this. When they work to block, know where they're coming from. These are, as Jesus would call them, children of hell, trying to make others twofold more the children of hell. Luke chapter 17, the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within. God is calling you to go within. God is calling you to know His voice. "My sheep will know My voice and they will not follow another." He's calling you to know His voice and to walk in that, to walk in the truth of that. He's calling you to do that which is according out of obedience to Him. So rather than doing works to be seen of men, God is calling you to do that which He tells you to do and let it be what it is. Your success, we've talked about this a long time ago, your success is in the obedience. Your success is in following Him. You may not see or know or understand, but just do what God shows you to do and let things be what they are. You know, when God sent, in Acts chapter 8, when God sent Philip out onto the desert road, that's all that he started with as an instruction. He said, "Go out to the desert road." Philip's in the middle of a huge revival. And God says to Philip, "Go out on that desert road." That's it. That's all he started with. He wasn't doing that to be seen of men. He was doing that to follow God. And in the process of going out onto that desert road, then he saw and met the eunuch, which was in charge of the treasury of Candace of Ethiopia. He had to go and he had to obey, and in doing so he lived the adventure. He had to hear that within and to carry that without. I mean, this is the adventure that we live, and this is the thing that the world works so hard to block you from. And you have to take confidence in who you are in Christ, so that you don't miss this, so that you don't allow them to steal it away from you. Galatians, the book of Galatians, is all about those that were at one point liberated into the truth that got entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And they started out, but then, in the process of starting out and moving forward, what does the enemy try to do right away? Bring you back under a yoke of bondage. So God wants you to be free. For this reason, Christ Jesus was manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. He came to set the captives free. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Come on, it's right there. So what do they want to do? They want to tell you and control you and tell you that this is that which you have in Christ is not for you, and that's not real. They want you to question the reality that God has pushed you and moving you and leading you into, nudging you into. And they do it because they get the numbers. They get the numbers. They get the trimmings. You know, you've made wide your phylacteries and your tassels on your garments, all this. So they have all the trimmings. They look the part. They sound the part. They have all of the things that are there and necessary in order to put something forward. But you know within what's real, child of God. Son and daughter of the living God, you know what within what's real. You know within what's true. You know within what is what's God's plan and purpose for you, because He's leading and guiding you into it. When you hear the word, it resonates within you, because deep calls out unto deep. And God will resonate the word and the truth within you. And that which is within, God is quickening you to live that out. And to take confidence in that, because you're rooted and grounded in the truth. But you know, with the worlders, and particularly with those that are in control in the world, know that they fulfill an agenda of the world and the world system. And if you look at them from the outward appearance, you know, you'd be fooled. You'd be fooled. Because you know, in verse 25, it says, "You may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." You know, the inside. So verse 27, you know, it's hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. If you look at it on the surface, they're going to look beautiful. They're going to look the part. But if you go inside, you're going to realize what's in there is nothing but dead. Death. Why dead men's bones? Well, the lives of those that have been consumed by their deception. Consumed by, they went in, they died and were consumed, you know, by that thing, and they deteriorated in there. You know, it's a sad thing to see a life, you know, just never lived. You know, God gave you this incredible gift of life here, this window on this life and on this earth, and you never get to live it out. When you're swallowed whole by these people, by these systems, by this deception, by the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. They steal your life, they kill your life, they destroy your life, and they'll do it all over again without thinking twice. They are dead. There's no life within them. And in the process of there being no life within them, those that fall for the deception, and when they're trying to keep you out and keep you away from that life, you die. God would have you to know the truth, and He'd have you to walk it out. The kingdom is within. So you do not need a man. You know, the scriptures talk about you don't need a man that a man should teach you. For the Holy Spirit will teach you when He comes upon you. You know this truth because it resonates within you. You know it. You know it for yourself. God would have you to walk in it Because the other thing too is that, and this is one of my statements I make, but knowledge without application is worthless. If you know something, and you know something's true, you need to live it out. Then you get the benefit from it. You can know all kinds of things about health and nutrition, but if you don't apply it, it's not benefiting you at all. You can know all kinds of things about the truth in the scriptures, but if you don't live it, it's not helping you at all. You're not getting the benefit from it. Better 20% of knowledge and wisdom with application that's going to benefit you than knowing 100% of this stuff, but not applying any of it. So you want to apply. So wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If any man lacks it, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. God would have for you to know the truth and the wisdom that's there and to live it out and walk it out. Go within. And in going within, and realize that they cannot block you from going within. The world and the world system cannot block you from going within. They cannot block you from sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. When Mary, sister of Martha, when Mary was going in to sit down at Jesus' feet, he said, he blessed her and said that this would not be taken from you. She wanted to know the truth. She was seeking Jesus. She was seeking that truth. And Jesus said, it's better for me that I go away, because when I go away, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And He's going to dwell in you. And He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. So Mary was listening to the words of Jesus and following Him and trusting Him. And that was there, and that was, the Word dwelt among them. But now the Spirit of God dwells within you. And you need to walk this out, and the power's there too for you to walk this out. Blessed, blessed, blessed is the name of the Lord and what we have in Him. So right now, brothers and sisters, as the world is shaking and God is shaking everything that can be shaken, know that He that began that good work within you is going to carry it on to completion, and know that you can trust Him in this. You can trust Him to do that work within you and to fulfill His plan and purpose for you. But don't fall into the trap, like the Galatians were being quickened and cautioned on. Don't fall into that trap of being taken back under the yoke of bondage once again. And you can see it, and you know what? There's something that the world wants to tap into, which is this fear of being alone, of you being an individual. People don't want to be an individual because they don't want to run the risk of that. But you got to be willing to go with God and allow for whatever it is that He gives you in the end. That's what it'll be. You'll have friends. You'll have those that will know and trust the Lord. But it's going to be on God's terms. And if you got to be on a solo assignment, then so be it. If it takes you, whatever it takes you, however long it takes you, you go with God. You receive from His hand what He has for you and trust Him in that and know that He's not going to cheat you. You're going to have the abundant life because you followed Him. The children of God know the abundant life. The worlders do not. So know that. And trust Him and go with God. With that, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. God bless you all. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. In Jesus' name. And Father, also, we just pray. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. I pray that You raise them up in strength and in truth. I pray, Lord God, that You bless, Father, this Word into their hearts. Let the Word just grow within them, Lord. Let them take confidence and strength in knowing that You are the One that leads and guides them. And confirm, Father God, Your Word in them. Bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, we love you guys. God bless you. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. Bye.